are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
Well, hello and welcome to Coffee with Kim. My name is Kim Crable, and may I tell you, I am delighted to have you today. I will invite you to once again grab a pencil and piece of paper because you're going to be taking notes today. What an incredible program we have because it hits each and every one of us right where we want to be. Let me just ask you, isn't it true? Don't we all want to be fit and fabulous? Of course we do. We want to take care of these bodies. We want them to look good. We want them to feel good. We want to maximize the use of the temple that God has given to us. Well, that's exactly how I would describe our guest today, fit and fabulous. And can I just tell you, there's so much more. I am so delighted to introduce you today, Wendy Pett. Wendy is a friend of mine. I met her as we worked together on Christian Women in Media. It's a global initiative of women in media. And I remember Wendy is just one of those people you look at and you just are so drawn to her beauty and her personality. But there's a glow about her that just automatically wants you to just scoot in and get to know her. It is so funny to me, and maybe it's not funny at all, maybe it's just God's blessings, that many times when you scoot in close to someone and you really begin to talk, that you learn, yes, she is so fit, and yes, she's so fabulous, but boy, does she have a story of God's wisdom and how she had to walk and work to get to where she is today. Friends, this is a story you're going to find so overwhelmingly enthralled with hope and healing that you are going to be so drawn. So without any further ado, as they say, I want to invite in to the studio today by way of Minnesota. She's calling in, Wendy Pett. Wendy, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kim, for having me. What an honor.
Oh, I'm so delighted to have you.
Yes, this is so fun. I remember when we first met and we both like caught one another's eyes and we immediately like were drawn to each other. And so this is so fun to continue our journey as friends. And I'm just so delighted to be on your show. Thank you.
Oh, Wendy, I know it's a friendship that I feel in the last week has just, from my perspective, has definitely become even more endearing to me as I've, you know, been interviewing you and talking to you about the show. And I mean, just seeing, the things, isn't it true, Wendy, isn't it true that we can look at each other and we just go, gosh, that girl's had it easy. Oh, look, she's so cute on that exercise program. But because you are on TV with your exercises, you're an owner of an exercise program, which I wanted to talk about. You're a doctor of neuropathic doctor, your wife, your mother. I mean, so yes, naturopathic. You have all these, you know, you have this incredible resume, and I will tell you, it could be so overwhelming, but then I crawl into your heart and see what you've gone through, and that's what I want to share today. Of course, I want to talk about the fit and the visibly fit and all these wonderful things you're doing, but can we do some backstory, Wendy? Can we go back to when it wasn't all fit and fabulous and share some of that story today?
And it was just perceived on the outside to be fit and fabulous. You know, yeah. It is true that you can't judge a book by its cover, right? I mean, I think we do look on the outside more often at a quick glance before we ever give notice to the inside. And really, that does a disservice to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because we all have a story. We've all walked this thing called life, and life isn't always easy. But right. It's the choices that you make and how you decide to go in spite of life, whether you decide to go in a bitter route or a better route. And so that's what I want to share today to your audience. You asked me, you know, like, what's an issue that we wanted to confront? And I thought, which issue? Because we all have, quote unquote, issues or things that come up in life. And, I just think the way you just described that, we can think someone has it all together. And really, you just don't know. You haven't walked a mile in their shoes. You do not know. So it's important to get close to somebody and hear their heart. So I'm excited to share it.
Absolutely. And isn't it so easy just to kind of disregard people or put people in a box? And, you know, what you have just talked about, Wendy, just to put a scripture on it immediately makes me think of 1 Samuel 16, where it says the Lord, you know, we consider the outside appearance of people, their height, you know, what they look like on the outside. But man looks at outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. And that's right. What I want our audience, our friends who are listening today to understand, that we may have really messed up on the outside. The outward appearance by which someone may judge us, by the way we may look, you know, we may have been thrown into addictions. We may have been physically abused. There may be all kinds of situations where also we may look all fit and fabulous and beautiful with a broken heart on the inside. I love the fact that God sees us as we are on the inside and loves us unconditionally as we are and invites us unto himself every day. When I look at some of the things that you've gone through, Wendy, what a hope and inspiration you are to people. Take us to a time in your life when it wasn't so fabulous.
You know, the more I share the story, the more it's just easier to roll off of my tongue, which I find just so God, you know, to be able just to talk about the past as if, who was that person? And that's just how our God is. He just restores and he renews. And but, you know, I'm not going to dismiss my past or be shameful of it. I think we all have stories and we have a past that could hopefully inspire and give someone else hope through their journey. So that's why I'm being very vulnerable and real with you today, Kim, and with your audience, because it's not about me. It's really about God and what he can do through a broken heart and a broken vessel and do in spite of you. And so so taking back to long ago, I'll just tell you quickly, I gave my life to Christ when I was 12 years old, and it was at a Christian concert. And I remember walking up to the stage and fully, you know, crying, surrendering, giving my life to Christ. And then as the years went by, I just got mixed up with the wrong crowd. And I just didn't have the role models, the accountability, and I didn't stay in that space. It was touch and go here and there. And but I still was at the church, and I would still do things, and I would still, you know, be involved on some levels. But I wasn't walking close with the Lord. In fact, it's been 21, 22 years ago that I was married the first time, and we moved from Texas to Minnesota. And I didn't know it at the time. I mean, I knew I was sad to leave because Texas was all I knew. And if you know a lot of people from Texas, if you're from Texas, Texas is its own, you know, country.
Absolutely.
It's like we're very proud to be Texan. And so to move to Minnesota, especially after watching the movie Fargo, you're very devastated and you don't want to move.
Yes.
And it's your family, it's your friends. Anyway, it was 6 months after we married, and we moved up here to Minnesota. And I think I cried the entire 18-hour drive up here. But, you know, I didn't know anyone, newly married. And anyway, we as a couple ended up meeting some folks that lived here in Minnesota. Wonderful, nice, fun people. But, you know, they were just in a different scene as far as their social habits, and kind of drank quite a bit as a social activity. And so anyway, we started drinking a little bit more, and then I tended to start drinking a lot more and didn't realize that it was even an issue, because I wasn't someone that was hiding the bottle, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
It was just more of a social thing. But Satan is
right.
Right. So.
Right. Not secret. Social. That's right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So one thing kind of leads to another, and you just, it's a long, long story. But my husband and I, we really just grew apart. And it wasn't any one particular fault. I would say it's a two-sided coin always. But I realize now that I was very resentful. And so through my resentment of having to leave my family and moving to a state I did not want to ever live in, it's cold. It's cold in Minnesota. So I was very resentful, but it didn't come out that way. It came out as me being a social, fun butterfly, but I was using alcohol as a deceptive tool to have laughter and silliness and be the life of the party, and yet it was hiding the fact that I was deeply depressed. I was angry, I was bitter, and I, like I said, I was resentful. And so all these emotions tied together in some form or fashion, it's just a trifecta of emotions. And and then to try to get control over those emotions, I tried to live my life through perfectionism, which is a double deceptive whammy, right? And you and I have actually talked about being recovering perfectionists and how that can keep you stuck and locked up. And anyway, long story short, my husband and I, my first husband, we went through a divorce, and it was a tough time. My son was young, 3 years old. He's, you know, 18 or so now. He would say 18 and a half, but he's not quite the half yet. But anyway, 18. And so you know, we parted ways, and we did the counseling, and we did all these things, but I didn't realize, again, that I had such resentment. I just thought we just weren't getting along. It wasn't a good fit, and, you know, just all these things. And again, the deception of alcohol and being social, and yet here I am at that point. I mean, I've been the leader in the space of health and wellness for two decades. So here I am teaching how to be healthy and well, and yet I didn't have an integrity in that space myself. Not to mention, I was leading Bible study, and I wasn't integrous there as well. In fact, I was reading the other day in Luke 11, it was 11:33 through, I just pulled it up, through 36, and it just popped off the page, and I thought, Lord, you are so good, your word is fresh to me every day. But it's where Jesus is teaching about the light within, right? So he says, no one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket, right? Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. And it says, your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when it's bad, your body is filled with darkness. Now, here is what popped off the page. It says, make sure that your light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you're filled with light with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light. And so I think how I was deceiving myself by leading Bible study. Like, I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was walking with the Lord because I was able to justify what I was doing. Because I'm not, I'm not abusing alcohol. I'm not hiding the bottle, because we have a different idea in our head of what alcohol abuse might be, right? So I was deceiving myself. And so when I read this scripture of make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness, I just wept. I wept in my prayer chair. And again, this was just the other day because I thought, oh my gosh, that was me. I thought I had the light of the Lord as I was leading this Bible study because I was doing the right thing. And so I was thinking about those that are in the church that are not fully in alignment with God's will and with his sovereign, beautiful way that we are called to live. And it's because we have wedged him out by the emotions and the destruction of sin, and we've justified every action. And so those wedges of shame and guilt and blame and anger and pride and ego, all those wedges, if you will, have drawn us further away in relationship from our Creator, as opposed to being right there next to him in an intimate space. And so when you start to pull out the wedges, when you start to pull out the wedges of resentment and pull out the wedges of, I have like an illustration I show with wood wedges that I can share with your audience at some point. I have it on video, but it's so powerful to see this because it's like, wow, okay, this is something that I've caused. God wants us to be so intimate and so close with him, but we keep putting these wedges, which is causing us more distance from our Creator. And it's up to us to pull those wedges out. And so I don't know when if you want me to stop talking and you may want to ask a question, but
Well, I just want to interject right here because of what you're saying, I believe. I believe that you are speaking to so many hearts. I know you're speaking to mine, but one of the things that I don't want to overlook is because what you're saying is truth today. What I want to also say that you haven't spoken that is so truth worthy is that you had that light according to being accepting Christ at the age of 12. You were doing, trying to be, presenting in your church, in your body, in your health and fitness, you were doing all the right things. I've been there. I know what that's like. I believe half the church, 80% of the church, are people who are not actively involved in the church. Wendy, that used to upset me so badly because I was like you. I was leading the women's ministry in the church, and I kept thinking, people, get off the pews. I need your help. What I began to understand through the eyes of grace is that they were then the way I was before. I was too fearful to get off the pew because I was hiding so much on the inside. Yes, you can look perfect on the outside. You can look fit and fabulous. But if you're broken on the inside, I believe that your journey from Texas, and yes, we all love Texas. I'll be there this weekend speaking. But from Texas to Minnesota was also trying to reveal to you, God was showing you again that something was being taken from you. Your resentment was representing a past hurt that must be dealt with before you can move forward. That was my heart. Wendy, I was doing everything I could. I believe that people who are listening right now are saying, God, what am I doing wrong? I'm doing everything I know to do to be the best version, to be who you've created me to be, but it's not connecting. And I believe that the enemy has covered our light with this blanket of darkness, and it's called shame, guilt, and regret from our past. And when we dare to confront and conquer that, that's why I wanted you on this program so badly, is when we dare to confront what it is that's in our past that we have, that the voices say, shame on you. Oh, gosh, don't you regret that? What a horrible mistake. Don't let anybody know about that because you're going to have that scarlet letter all over you. That once we dare, I can speak for myself and the ones that I take through the journey of a book that I wrote, Burdens of Blessings, that when you begin to dare to say, I am tired of the lies, I'm tired of pretending, I'm desperate, which you had your desperate moment. I call it a spiritual breakdown on the steps like I did. But when you get to the point to where you are just so sick and tired of looking fit and fabulous when you're so broken on the inside, and you dare to go in and confront that everything that you see, that you believe, was a lie from the father of all lies, that those things mm-hmm. that have happened to us truly, even if they were meant for evil, can be meant for God's glory. And that's your life, Wendy. And I just love, so let's, yeah. any comments on that? Because I want our listeners to hear.
Oh, hear more in depth of how it goes. But, you know, I really am thinking quickly because I need to back up.
Yeah, and I'm not saying we have to go in details. I'm saying I want our listeners to hear the truth that blanket of darkness that is covering them with shame, guilt, and regret, that the light can penetrate it through that. And even the Bible tells us in Isaiah 45:3, I think it is, that it's in the secrets of our heart that God gives us great treasures. Wendy, you found a treasure, didn't you? Once you really went back, didn't you realize it really wasn't about the move at all? See, I had that same
100%. You know what? It wasn't even about the resentment, Kim, because the resentment wasn't even around the move or the marriage. It was about the rape, which I haven't even talked about, that happened in high school I felt broken and ashamed from. And I wouldn't even, speak out. And I'm not into this Me Too movement. Like, that's not my deal. I'm just saying that's what I had to acknowledge first and understand who I am in Christ and understand that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and it doesn't matter what was done to me fitness is all about forgiveness, okay? So it was about forgiving the one who did that to me, but more importantly, forgiving myself for allowing myself to be in that position, putting myself in that position. So that's where that resentment and that shame, that yucky stuff started in the beginning, right?
Yes.
And then it just kind of kept snowballing.
Yes, and that's where I want to make sure that our listeners heard what you said, because Wendy, I had that same move from Georgia to Baltimore. I mean, I came kicking and screaming. Have you ever seen that picture where it says, "Oh, it's so cute." It has one footprint, and it goes, and when you couldn't walk yourself, I carried you or whatever, you know. Well, my picture is just a drudgery of just two marks where someone's being drugged. That's what I do. They used to get a cage. But what it was God, again, it was resentment coming out of me. It's like I'm being taken away from somewhere I love, which took me all the way back to the age of four. With you, when you were leaving, it was taking you back to something that was robbed from you, that was taken from you. And what I want people to understand is what they are resenting today is representing something that's deep inside them. And if they dare to go deep inside them, God has a treasure. He has a work. He does not send guilt and shame and regret. He sends treasures in this darkness, but it's treasures that only come through the transforming power of Jesus Christ in our life.
That's right.
So I want our listeners to hear.
I want
to make sure that our listeners hear that your resentment was not from a move. Did you hear, people, that it was because of a rape that happened to this sweet, beautiful woman at the age of what? How old were you, Wendy, when this happened?
Well, let's see, I was a junior in high school, so I was 16, graduated when I was 17. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 16.
Mm-hmm. That just needed to be healed, and forgiveness had to come. Mm-hmm. What we're going to do, right? I want you to, what I'm going to do right here is I want to give our listeners space to think for just a minute. I want them to, because we've dug into some deep truths right here, and healing is taking place. Tears are flowing. People are remembering, and people are beginning to wonder: Could it be true that from what I have tucked in my heart, the secrets of the abuse, the addictions, the shame, the guilt, and regret? Could it be possible, what Wendy and Kim are saying, that God can truly transform this to give me a life of hope and healing and to be a voice of what he can do? I assure you, whoever is thinking that is so true. And when we get back from a commercial break, I'm going to let Wendy, I want us to begin talking about your moment when your transformation began. And people, I know I advertised this as a Visibly Fit, and we're going to talk about that because Wendy knows all about that, even as a program, as written things. So we are going to get to that, but we have to go deeper into the heart and talk about this thing that she herself has said that she had to confront and conquer, which is forgiveness, before the true fit and fabulous come into play. So can I just tell you, Wendy, I am so glad you're here today. I just love what God has done in your life, and we're going to take just a 60-second break. We're going to give our callers a chance to think about this, and we're going to be praying for you callers, listeners, as you are contemplating this, and I am going to invite you, if you'd like to call in, and if you have a question for Wendy, the number is 347-324-5246. You may call that. We will get some information to you at the end of the show about how you can reach Wendy, and how about I say at the end of the show, we're going to do a drawing, and I'm going to send you one of Wendy's books at no charge, just for listening today. So let's take a 60-second break, and Wendy will be right back.
Sounds great.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
I couldn't speak or walk.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back to Coffee with Kim. I'm so glad you're here today. My name is Kim Crable, and we have an incredible guest today, Wendy Pett from Minnesota, actually. Before we get into our show, I'd like to invite you to join us on Facebook, facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. I'd like for you to be a part of our daily devotional and all the activities that we have going on there. It's one of my frequent sayings, and I mean it, that none of us have all the answers, but together we have so many more. If you happen to be in the Baltimore area this week, I'd love to see you at our evening coffee gathering at the Emery Grove in Glendon. Love to see you Thursday, October 5th at 6:30 p.m. Look at the Facebook to get more information. And if you happen to be in the Beaumont, Texas area, I'll be there Friday and Saturday, October 26th and 27th, leading a conference for ministry women and ministry wives. It's called Restored. Oh, one of my most favorite topics. Then next Monday, we'll be coming to you live with Up to Me Radio with our inaugural Teen Talk. Teen Talk. Our teens are actually going to be leading the show. So many wonderful things that are going on. And let me tell you, inside you, there are wonderful things too. We just have to shatter the silence. We have to go beyond the secrets. We have to step into God's healing. And that, my friend, is available to each and every one of us today. God says, come to me, ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest means reversal. He has great things tucked inside your heart. He has chosen you. He has called you. He has anointed you. Now it's up to us to surrender. Am I speaking the truth, Wendy? Is that what you realized in your life, that you had to get to a point to where you just gave it all to him, no matter what he was going to do with it, you just had to give it to him?
100%. It was a full-on surrender. And it was almost it was just at that point where I didn't have another choice. And, you know, everyone's, I guess, pain threshold is a little bit different. And I guess it took me a little bit longer maybe than others. But through the journey of what we talked about before the break and then now into this next season after my divorce, I remember my son was at his dad's because we did a week on, week off kind of schedule. And so on that week off, when I didn't have my son, oh my gosh, it was just awful. All I wanted to do was be with my son. And so I just felt lonely. I felt sad. I felt even more depressed. And just, it was just dark, dark. And when I would talk to my mom, which I talk to her every day, I've been talking to her probably every day since I've moved here. But she could always tell, oh, you don't have, you know, Keegan today, do you? And I'm like, no. And she could just hear it in my voice. I would just be just sad. And so I would spend my time going out. I would spend my time just distracting myself. Instead of facing it head on, I would distract. Mm-hmm. And the distract was going out with friends and, you know, drinking and all those things. And then I remember one day when I came home and I came through the door. And I remember shutting the door behind me and then putting my back up against the door. And I thought, wow, this silence is deafening. Like it was just, it was too much to bear. It was just, it was difficult. And so I thought, wow, I'm just going to go to bed. And as I was going up the stairs, I just collapsed. I just collapsed in tears. And I cried out to the Lord, like I was angry. I was sad. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have the strength. And I just cried and cried. And I just didn't have any energy. I crawled up the stairs and I just didn't want to be here anymore. Like I just crawled into bed. The story gets worse where I got sick in my bed because I'd been out and I drank too much. And anyway, got sick in my bed. I laid in my bed for 3 days, if you can imagine, just wanting to go, my life to go away. Like I didn't eat. I barely drank water. I threw some food on the floor. I had a little puppy, a little tiny puppy at the time, threw food on the floor for her. I didn't answer phone calls. I slept. And when I did wake up, I literally wished I wasn't alive. And that wasn't like me. Like, I was the bubbly, fun girl, you know, like to be in this dark, dark cloud of depression. I've never experienced that. And so I just wanted it all to go away. And on the third day of just being in this depressed stoop of just self-loathing stuff, right? I remember waking up to a voice in my room, and I literally thought a man was in my room, and I heard the words, "Get up." And I opened my eyes, and it really freaked me out. I opened my eyes, and I didn't see anybody in my room, and I thought, wow, I must be really delirious. So I just shut my eyes and thought, well, that's no big deal. I must have been dreaming. I heard it the second time, and when I heard "get up," the second time, I knew in my spirit, I knew it was the voice of God. And I've never audibly since then heard God's voice, but I know that I know that I know that was God's voice. And I immediately got out of my bed. I got onto my knees by my bed and I surrendered. I asked for repentance. I repented and I asked for forgiveness. And I just cried and cried. And then I looked around and all I could see were piles of poop, if you can imagine. Because remember, I've been in bed for 3 days. I threw food on the floor for my dog and I haven't let her out. I know this is a really disgusting story, but this is the truth. And I remember seeing all this and I turned around and I laughed. I laughed so hard, and I thought, you know what, God, this is funny, and thank you that dog is spelled God backwards, because in my pile of mess here that I get to clean up, I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to count it all as joy, and that's exactly what I did. From that moment on, I was healed. I was a different person. I wish I could just, like, take you there, because I don't know what happened. It was just a shift by the grace of God. And I cleaned up all the messes and I was singing praise song. I was singing Amazing Grace. And I don't even know how to express it through words. I just know it was a moment of turning around, and it was a moment of getting right with God. And it was a moment of pulling out the wedges of sin and having a final intimate relationship with God and having an integrous character and spirit, and really allowing him to work in my life in a new way. And since then, I haven't looked back. Like, I look at that and I just kind of giggle and I'm like, who is that person? Who was that person? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But God is so good and he is faithful. And I'm telling you, he really will take a mess and make things beautiful. And I don't know. He's just so good. And he's so He's so gracious. He's full of grace. That's all I can say. I don't deserve it, and none of us do, but Jesus, that's why Jesus was here, to die for our sins, and I finally received that, and I finally forgave myself, and I finally felt the love from my Heavenly Father in the way that He wanted me to receive it.
I think there's so much of what you said. I know that voice, that, you know, and for those who are listening, the biblical truth of that is John 10:27, where the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice." God's voice can be heard. I remember, you know, you can hear that voice. But what I'd like to do, I believe, Wendy, that you have really touched on so many, you've led people to a place right now. And I would like for you to speak, and I know we have many callers online. If you'd like to come in, you can press 1. We're down to about 15 minutes, but we'd be glad to, if you have a question or something, especially about this surrendering and really accepting Christ. And what you have described to us there, Wendy, is a picture of God's redeeming power and where He mm-hmm. can truly make all things new. And He really can. And that's why we do this show. You said something there about how for so many months or years you were running, you were scattering, you were trying to be too busy and too cute and too funny, and you know, and you were mm-hmm. running from and this season of absolutely, this season's show is all about confronting so that we can conquer through Christ. And that's, you described through that incredible story, redemptive story, is how you got to the point to where enough is enough. I'm going to confront mm-hmm. this and see, is God's word true? And you saw it and you felt it. And I believe that there's so many listeners who are listening now and who will be listening by podcast. And Wendy, if you're comfortable, could you just take just a minute and speak to them? If they have come to this part, perhaps they are like you and I. It's funny that you were on the depths when you had like almost like a spiritual breakdown, which led to a spiritual breakthrough. I had mm-hmm. that same thing on the 7th step of 509 mm-hmm. Brandon Mill Road. I was trying to make it up to my bedroom. I had run for so many years. I'd done everything I knew to do to be what God wanted me to be. I didn't realize it was my brokenness that God wanted. God wanted to make beauty. He wanted the fit and the fabulous, yes, in my body, but first He wanted it in my heart. It had to be in my heart first, and only He could do that. I remember sitting in that step, crying my eyes out, going, God, if I hadn't messed up, if this hadn't been done to me, if I hadn't done, then I would be worthy, but I'm no longer worthy. And God was just surrounding me with His love, like He did with you, like He did the Samaritan woman, like He did with every person in the Bible. And He was beseeching them, calling them unto Himself. I believe at this moment, Wendy, we have lots of people, men and women, boys and girls, teens, pastors, priests, women in ministry, women in rehabs, people in nursing homes. We have people in Uganda and Singapore who have come all to the same point. Where can we believe? What would you say to them at this moment? What would you do if you're standing on one side of the door, inviting them through the door to meet Christ, to really surrender? What would be your invitation to them at this moment, Wendy?
Yeah, I would say it doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter what you haven't done and you think you should have done, that you're feeling maybe guilty over. It doesn't matter whichever side of the spectrum you're on. You're not damaged goods. God has a plan and a purpose and a calling, a great calling on your life. And He chose you at this very moment of creation, in creation, to live this life. And it's yours to live, to bring Him glory. And so He has given you the authority to walk this life out as Christ walked it out. And I want to encourage you to step into that space. And in order to step into that space, the surrender is where it's at. It is not weakness. Where we are weak, He is strong. And so I just want to encourage you to let it go and surrender and take His hand
and follow him to the next step of your journey.
Absolutely. Wendy, will you just say, I don't normally do this, but would you just say a quick prayer for all these people who I just feel their heads are bowed? I believe they're ready. Will you just say a prayer for these people?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, I just praise you right now. I thank you for all those that are listening and all that will listen later, that you are such a mighty God, that you are with them right now as we are praying and bowing our heads before you. I know that you are wrapping your arms around them, giving them that special love that only you can give them, that just deep Heavenly Father love. And so, Father, I just pray that they feel your presence. And I pray that they understand that their weakness is where you are strong. And so that weakness is strength. And so that give them the courage, Lord. Give them the courage to shine light on what needs to be exposed so it doesn't have power over them any longer, Lord. We just ask that you would break the chains right now that is keeping them from fully living the life you've called them to live, Lord. So we are just declaring and decreeing that by your faith that these people on the call are fully free and they can live the life you've called them to live. So give them peace as they go through the process and courage to do the work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just powerful. And for all of you who are listening, moms, grandmoms, grandfathers, young people, wherever you are, now I welcome you into a new space, as Wendy says, a new integrity into where you shift from the shame and the regret, and you go, okay, now let's start celebrating life. Let's truly get our hearts and our bodies fit and fabulous. Let's have fun along the journey, because my life, and I would say Wendy's life, is full of fun in this new adventure. But Wendy, also in the midst of the fun, there's work. Let's give a few practical ways that people can begin to get started right now as they've prayed that prayer, as they're getting so tired of not sharing who they are, of living secretly. I see where you say the first and foremost thing is to begin spending quiet time with God every morning. Will you explain that? And you say in your prayer chair. Will you explain that just a little bit for our listeners? What is their first step in making this a true spiritual success story?
Yeah, the first step is to really create the discipline of bathing yourself in God's truth. And the way that we do that is to read his truth. And we get more, we get closer with God and more intimate with him when we are reading his word. And so find a special place in your home. Maybe it's in the car on the way to work. I don't care where it is. But create that discipline of that same space. I have a prayer chair, and God meets me there every morning. And it's such a special, special place. Like, it's very sacred to me. In fact, this chair will be with me for all my life. I know it will be, because it's my place. And so it may be a closet. It may be your bathroom. I don't care where it is. Just have that special place where you and God have intimate time together, even if it's only 10 or 15 minutes. But it's so important to have that each and every day, so that you can, you know, just like I read that word earlier from Luke, that those words popped off the page to me the other day. Well, I've read that scripture a million times. So in this season of your life, you're going to read something in a new, profound way, and he's going to speak to you in a new way. And that's where the healing happens. And so I just invite you to, if you don't regularly read his word, I want to invite you to do it. It's important.
Oh, I love that. And I don't know about you, but I found that my space, that chair, my space changed. I remember when it used to be my spaces when I was folding clothes when babies were little. And then it used to be it was in the car line, you know, when I was sitting in my seat. It is that finding the space wherever you can, hopefully that I love that. I've never thought about the chair prayer. I love the way that just, you know, I'm such a rhymer, analytical type person. But I love that. I love that, to have that space where you always go to. But the most important thing, friends, as you're listening, is Wendy is saying, you've got to find a place. You've got to be with God every day. And that is so crucial. And we see that in the life of Jesus. Every morning, you know, he spent time with his Father. There are so many other things you put, creating and speaking I am statements, that you have friends that, that are for accountability. I love where you say that you went back into your past and you made apologies and made things right with different people. You attended church. There are so many things, practical application steps that we're going to be putting on our Facebook page later. If that's okay with you, you can just list a few of them that I want people to follow up. But I want to take the last 10 minutes to talk about your program. And I am going to have you back on. We have to have you back on just for the fit and fabulous, because this is huge. But can you take a few minutes and help our people understand what it is that you do now that you've been relieved from all of this this darkness, how your light really is shining, and how they can let's get started on that for a few minutes. And then, do you promise you'll come back and do a full show
with me
at some point?
I would love it. Okay. This is way too much fun.
Great.
Absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
So my program is called Visibly Fit, and it's all about being fit, mind, body, and spirit, because we can see all three. We really can. Through the windows of your soul, your eyes, through your actions, through the words that you speak, we can see your mind, body, spirit, and they're all, you know, tied together. So you can't just be healthy in one like we've been talking about and not so good with your spiritual health and vice versa. So being visibly fit, it's all about, and this is going to fall into place too as well, but it's about releasing the emotions that are attached to the weight. A lot of times people come to me and they say, I want to lose 20 pounds. Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. But when we lose something, we tend to find it. We don't want to lose it. We really want to release the emotions that are attached to the weight, because what's keeping you, what's keeping you reaching for that counterfeit comfort, if you will, or that deceptive thing in the refrigerator that isn't going to fuel the temple of the Holy Spirit as it needs to be fueled to begin with, as a comfort that is deceptive, when really you just need to learn how to fuel your body with healthy, whole foods as God intended. And so it's really about the emotions that are attached to a certain food, maybe the emotions that are as you're dealing with depression or sadness, or maybe it's just a social thing, but it's more to it than just, oh, I like to eat. No, there's definitely emotions to it. And there's addictive situations with food, because in the food industry, they chemically alter foods. You know, I use that quotations around the word foods, so that it will bring people to come back to that food and buy more of it, whether it's sodas or packaged foods and that kind of thing. So I really teach how to take care of the body as God intended, eating more of a plant-based lifestyle, but eating as God intended, whole plant-based, whole foods, really, whole foods. But it's also using your body as your gym. So a lot of times we say, we don't have time to work out. Well, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. So I would challenge you in looking at more of, okay, do I not have time, or do I not feel that I'm worthy of taking the time? And so there comes that emotional peace and that disconnect with our Creator, because He designed us in such a way that we are to take care of ourselves. And remember, it's one of the commandments to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we don't love ourselves, how can we love our neighbor? And so it's really one of those things. It is that inner healing that begins to alter how we are taking care of the body, with how we're fueling it with food, the activity and steps that we're taking. Let's talk about steps in general. I've had a client that was in a deep, dark depression, and I've been there, so I understood and was able to relate to her. But I said to her, she had been home for 2 weeks,
hadn't been out of her clothes. She had two young kids, hadn't been to work, can't drive, very anxious, depressed. Her marriage was on the rocks, did not know what to do. And I said, her name was Sheila, is Sheila. And I said, Sheila, are you willing to do something for me? And she said, I'll do anything. I said, great. This was in January, a little over a year ago. And I said, are you willing to put on a hat, gloves, coat, and boots? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I need you to walk around the block and call me as soon as you get back. And she said, what? I said, yeah, I need you to go outside, walk around the block, and then call me. And do you know, after she got back, her mood had changed, the depression had lifted, and it was nothing that I gave her or I told her. It was more about that step of faith, that faith is small as a mustard seed, right? But also activity does shift our body chemistry. So it starts to release those positive endorphins in the brain, and you start to feel happier and healthier, and it does lift your attitude and your mood. So she began to feel differently. So a lot of times when we're in kind of a slump, we just need to move our bodies. So, so the program is powerful. It's not just a food and exercise program. It's a holistic approach. As a naturopath, I'm all about giving you natural healing recommendations so that you can live out the calling that God has for you. But we have to sometimes attack the mental and the spiritual kind of as bookends first before the body actually starts to transform. And so that's what Visibly Fit is all about.
I love that. And let me just, would you please, I know we're going to be doing another show. I know that. But in the meantime, I want people to be able, I see where you're on DirecTV, NRB TV, Uplift TV, Smart Life TV. You're on radio, so you travel. I see you a lot when we're in Texas together. You know, you're all over the place. But I would love for our listeners to know how they could reach out to you. Maybe if they'd like to have you come speak at their event, or if they just want to, you know, just get into part of your network so that they can begin to live healthier and more whole. How could they reach you, Wendy?
Yeah. Well, they can always go to my website, which is wendypett.com, WendiePett.com. But if you're in a place where you are feeling like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to be healed from the inside out and mind, body, and spirit, then I want to invite you actually to go to getvisiblyfit.com. Fill out just a little application there, and then schedule a time on my calendar, and let's schedule a breakthrough call. Let's have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would be a next best step for you. I'd be honored.
That's wonderful. I love practical steps. I love things that I can actually do, and that someone can do. They can get on your website. They can make contact with you, and how gracious of you to be able to be willing to meet with all of us one-on-one and to really have that breakthrough conversation. Oh, my gosh, I just love who you are and what God is doing through you. Wendy, I'm just so honored to have had you on the show today. I cannot believe our show is over. I told our producer this could be 3 hours and we could just go on and on. We did not have time to take callers today. I am so sorry, but we will allow them time. That's why I wanted to make sure that they had a way to contact you, because I know that many will. I'm hoping that more than anything that many people were able to do the spiritual breakthrough, the healing. I love the fact that your comment is, you know, to be fit and fabulous, we must first walk through that forgiveness. And that is so true. You cannot fake fitness. You cannot fake a true life in Christ. It must come through His love, His acceptance, and our forgiveness of others. And I just really long for each of our callers to understand what you said. They have been chosen. There is a plan for their lives. There is no mistake that has happened or abuse that has happened that negates them from God's will and the calling. As a matter of fact, it enhances it, because even you said it's made me, what was it you said? It's made me more compassionate. I understand when I talk to my callers with depressions or whatever, because we've been there. We know what that's like. So, Wendy, right. we have in 60 seconds. How would you? Mm-hmm. What would be your final message to our callers today? To our listeners today?
Well, I'm going to give you my life's verse, and that's Philippians 4:13. Yes. I can do all mm-hmm. things through Christ who strengthens me. So I give that to you today because you can, because he can, and he did for you. So just go and walk that out with boldness. All you need is faith as small as a mustard seed, and he will mm-hmm. continue to grow that tree. So just keep taking those action steps and release, surrender, and forgive. Thank you
thank
so much
you
for
so
having
much.
Me on the call, Kim. I love you dearly.
Oh, Wendy, I will just tell you, I loved you before. I loved you to the moon and beyond now because of how your authenticity to walk out and to help all of us to see that our lives, nothing that's happening in our lives, are should be covered in shame. That what God right. has gotten us through, what we have walked through, really is worthy to be celebrated. And the hurts that we have truly can be healed so that we can have a voice of hope in this world, God's hope, to share with others what he can do in our lives, how he truly can make all things new. So, Wendy, I adore you. I cannot wait to get to Minnesota to see you. We're going to do follow-up. I know that. And in the meantime, friends who are listening, I'd just like for you to remember and play back and listen to all the wonderful principles. Hear the hope that Wendy shared today. And remember, let's shift our thinking. Let's shift from what others have done to us to what God has done for us. And let's Amen. Look up to him and ask him to come into our lives and show us the treasures of our own hearts. He has called us. He has anointed us. Let us stand up and confront those things that are trying to stop us, because in that, God has already told us we're not only conquerors, we are more than conquerors. Wendy, I love you. Listeners,
I
thank you
too.
For listening. And we'll see you all back next week. Bye, Wendy. Love you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Take care. Blessings.
Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrable.com. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrable.com.